There's a man in here. Amen. Aren't you glad he hung the moon? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles this morning, you want to turn the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12. We're still going through the book of Acts. I'm enjoying it very much. Now in Sunday school, we're in the book of Acts. I think the Lord's wanting us to get a message, don't you? Book of Acts, chapter 12. I'm going to read several verses this morning. I usually don't read this many, but I want us to get the gist of the story and get it fresh in our mind. So if you would stand with me, starting at verse 1 of chapter 12. Now about that time, the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Up till this time, the church has been on fire, doing a lot of great things, and the devil's fought, and folks had been put to death and different things, but now Barnabas and Saul is getting ready to go out in the next chapter or two. They're going to go into the mission field. So it's around this time that he's talking. And he said, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Instead of Easter, the word here really is Passover. It's written Easter, but it means the Passover. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church of God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth unto them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. I'll stop there. But I want to go back and look at verse 7 again. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for all your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God. Thank you for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Word of God that leads us and teaches us and shows us the way of life. And Lord, that we pray this morning that you would just settle down on us, Lord, and pray that you would resist the devil and get him out of here, his influences and the things that he would do to distract us today. And Lord, that we invite the sweet Holy Spirit to help the old preacher boy. And Lord, that you would minister to each of our hearts. And God, that you'd challenge us today and help us as we leave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is a tough time for the early church. This was a time that God was moving mightily. Great things were happening. But now all of a sudden it looks like Herod has got the upper hand. He's already killed James, one of Jesus' inner circle. When he would, lots of times he was involved with Jesus. And you look, and now that he stowed Peter in prison and is getting ready to kill him. And thinking on this morning, and as I got to looking through this, of course I've been going through the book of Acts and reading. I got this chapter and I just kept reading. I kept looking and I really wasn't getting nowhere. And then all of a sudden my eyes fell and the Lord started leading me about the chains coming off. when the chains fall off. Boy, and I got to thinking and got excited and got to doing some searching and researching about the chains falling. See, I can still vividly remember when my chains was lifted. I remember the difference that was made. And see, the Lord rescues those that put their trust in the Lord. When we trust Him, He'll deliver on His side. But how is such a jailbreak as we see here possible? I mean, let's get the picture. Peter was in jail. They said there were four quadrants, and that means there's four in each one, so there were 16 soldiers. I don't know if they was taking shifts of battle or whatever, but there was at least four there with him. And he was bound, and his arm chained to that one, and his arm chained to that, and he's between two soldiers. There was other soldiers there. They had him surrounded. There was no way. See, I think they remembered in the great, the high priest and all of them, he is going to escape this time. So he was bound by two chains, as we see in verse 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So we see here Herod was trying to be on the good side of the Jews. He saw it pleased the Jews to kill James, so he said, I'm going to stay in good, and I'm going to stay on their good side, and I'm going to give them what they want. So as we see here, and but there's something in this verse that when it talks about James, said that he was killed with a sword. And that means probably beheaded. But they were killed with the sword. In Deuteronomy, if you look back in Deuteronomy chapter 13 from 6 to 18, it goes through when Moses was given the law, and it says if a person leads one person into idolatry and leads them astray and gets them back to serving other gods and false gods, that you are then, he is to be killed. And I missed it. If he lead one person, that he was to be killed, stoned. But that goes on and says that if someone go in and lead the whole city astray, they then were killed by the sword. So I think Herod was following, trying to follow the law. And they thought that when they came in and they were turning this city upside down, that they were destroying the Jewish faith and they were destroying their heritage. But let's look on a little further. I want to look about these two chains that had him held. Now, if you look at an unrepented sinner and one that's not ever been converted, I think these two chains represent sin and death that had us bound. Sin had us bound. Sin had a hold of us, and we were made prisoners to sin. Romans chapter 6 talks about that the one that we serve, that's who we're a slave to, and sin binds us. We are bound under death. It's appointed unto man once to die. And you look at this, and after it's the judgment, and you look at we as unconverted, if we've never been saved, that we are bound by the chains of sin. We're bound by the chains of death. And there's not no really any hope of getting out. The devil and all of his demons are the prisoner keepers, are the jailers, and they've got your chain to death, your chain to sin, and now you are guarded, and there's no way out, and there's no hope. But not only do we have those chains, there's a lot of chains that we have today. So many things bind us. So many things gets a hold of us and brings us down and makes us captive. See, the first chain that I see that I thought of was not being sure of salvation. That's a bad chain to have on you. If you're not sure of salvation, Romans 8:15, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness of himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not Son hath not life. As we see this morning, the importance of knowing that you're saved. It's important that, if I can stress something this morning, it's important that we get these chains to fall off of us that we don't know for sure. We don't know for a certain. If I ask you this morning, well, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, that you'd wake up in heaven? What would be your answer? There's times in my life that I had a guy ask me one time, and he came up, and of all places, it was the last rock concert run that I ever went to. And there was a guy out in front of it giving out gospel tracts. And he said, if something happened in there tonight and you left, before you left and you died in there tonight, do you know that you'd go to heaven? And my answer was, I don't know. That guy ruined my concert. When it started getting a little loud in there, I got to looking around. But that sunk down deep. I think that's when the Lord really started working on me. And I got to thinking that I don't want to open my eyes up in hell one day. I want to be sure that I know where I'm going. I want to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved and my sins are under the blood. And if you're here this morning, and if I ask you point blank, and you would have to say, well, I don't. Boy, I hope we can work on that before you leave this morning. The most important decision that you'll ever make is what you do with Jesus Christ. It don't matter if you hear of me and see me and forget about me. That don't matter. But if you hear and see of Jesus and you don't act on it and you don't accept him and receive him in my heart, you've missed the whole thing. Another chain is the past. There's so many folks that's bound by the past. They're so bound by the mistakes they made in the past. They're so bound by what other folks done to them in the past. They're so bound by what's it's happened, and that they can't get past that to get into the future. Have you ever met anyone like that? They're just so bogged down, and you don't know what I done in the past. No, I don't. But it don't matter. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. There's no ifs or buts about it. When we're bogged down and we're bound down with the past, let me tell you what the Apostle Paul said about the past. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. I tell you what, we forget about what happened in the past. When we ask Jesus to come into our heart and forgive us of our sins, he wipes that slate clean. And it don't matter what we get back there, we just got to look forward. Amen. I pray if you got the chains of the past on you this morning, before we leave, that you get relieved. See, these things, what these chains do is make it hard. They bind us and makes it difficult in our lives and makes it hard on us to carry on. How'd you like to walk around? How much work do you think you'd get done if you had two chains hanging on you all day? When we are chained down, we're not going to be able to be the witness that Christ wants us to be. Another chain is guilt. Just old guilt. Now, there's a big difference between conviction and guilt. Conviction is when the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what guilt is not. The Holy Spirit don't work as you're a lousy father. You're a lousy mother. You're a lousy parent. You're a lousy grandparent. You're a lousy child. You're a lousy, what you did, it's awful. That the Holy Spirit don't work that way. That's self-condemnation. That's condemnation of the devil. He has come, one of his angels, what? The accuser of the saints. And his job is to accuse us. And he gets us to believing and having guilt on ourselves. And we're not going to be a witness because I feel so guilty. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. See, the chains of guilt falls off when we ask Jesus to come into our hearts and forgive us of our sin. That guilt is gone away, and we are then free left with liberty to serve Him. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! I feel better already. How about you? Praise the Lord. Another one I looked at is anger. Boy, that's the one the preachers dealt with through the years. They say confession's good for the soul. Now, I've dealt with this, brother. And I've even talked to my former pastors about it. Never will forget what Preacher Cutshaw said about it, though. He said, you know, if steel don't have the right amount of temper in it, it ain't no good. He said, so use that as a strength instead of a weakness. I'm a whole lot better than I used to be about with my temper. But that old rascal shows up sometimes. But anyway, Colossians 3:8 says, but now ye also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. God's saying, and what's the Bible said? Be angry and sin not. We're not getting mad. Sometimes I get mad at things. It's according to how I respond to it, I guess, when I sin or don't. But angry, when we let anger set in, it'll destroy a relationship as quick as anything. It'll destroy everything about us when you just have pure old anger. You ever know anybody just mad at the world? I got a great friend that works at a place, and he worked with a guy. Nobody can't work with that guy but two or three nights or days, and they had to swap him around. But he's such a good worker, they won't get rid of him. But he said, I feel bad. I'm miserable. I want everybody around me miserable. Well, I'd like to introduce him to a good friend of mine. How about you? Another chain is the chain of addiction. You might say, preacher, now we're in church. We're all believers here. You're talking about addiction. Let me tell you, you can make a sin out of food. Most preachers don't talk about this, especially overweight ones. The little skinny ones probably do, but it is something about little Debbie cakes. It's hard to get over, isn't it? But we have addictions in our lives and things that we get hung up on, that we allow. What we do is happens is those chains tighten up tighter, and that addiction starts telling you what to do. Instead of us being in control, these addictions settle in. See, there's not only food, but there's alcohol addictions. I'm telling you, I had, and Gary even got on me about it, I had the best daddy in the world. And Gary said not to call him that, but Gary, yes, he was an alcoholic. He was a good man. He never missed work over alcohol. He was there every day. He worked and provided. He gave me a good work ethic. I learned so much from him. But the bottle had a hold of him. If you don't never take that first drink, you won't never be addicted to it. That's advice Preacher Cutshaw gives. There's not only the food and the alcohol, it's the drug addictions. We'll talk about that some other time if you want to know what I was going to say. But when we allow these substances and these things in our lives, and it starts out easy and simple, then the next thing you know, we're vain. The change has us. And we're under the control of something else. See, the Bible said that in Ephesians that we are to be filled, not filled with wine, which is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit lead and guide us and be the controller in our life instead of substances. Amen? Psalm 50:15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." See, of all of these chains, that's a good verse for it. But if any, especially any kind of addiction that we may have, I tell you that I heard a thing on the radio the other day talking about Karen Carpenter. Boy, how she could sing. She got seen a picture of herself and thought she was overweight and ruined herself. Would make herself throw up and do all this stuff and wouldn't eat and take and just ruined her life. If the devil can get into your mind and convince you of something long enough and you entertain it long enough, that he'll make us a prisoner. Amen. The next one is fear. What about fear? You say, "I'm not afraid of nothing." The devil loves. See what fear does. What does it say in 1 Peter 5:8? "To be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Have you ever heard a lion roar, a real lion, like at a zoo or something? Well, ain't nothing sitting to chill up your spine like that. Every tree, and we'll be afraid to turn the lights off at night, and we'll be afraid to be by ourselves, and we'll be afraid to face tomorrow, and we'll be afraid to face the past, and we'll be afraid of everything, and he'll get us terrified of everything if we allow him. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Praise the Lord. He'll take the fear out of our lives. And worry. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful," or "be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Jesus said, "Why do you worry about things?" And one of the songs earlier was thinking too, the lilies in the field. Jesus said, "Consider the lilies. They don't toil or they don't spin. But even Solomon in all his glory going to put on. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about all of these other things. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. So that ought to knock worry right in the head. But I've got one finger out and four back on this one. Sometimes I just feel like getting in a big circle and wringing my hands. But there's one thing, if you could ever see in the throne room, He's in charge. See, the two chains were bound. The devil really likes to double up. In the tomb, in the garden, they put a seal on the tomb and they put soldiers there. It still wouldn't keep the Lord in. See, we see Peter here. He'd already killed James. He was chained between two guards. There was guards all around him. All of the wards were guarded. There was no way out. And in just a little while, they were going to come and kill him. Did you see what he said he was doing? He was worried. When we allow God to move in our lives and we turn everything completely over to Him, and instead of worrying, instead of the addictions, instead of the anger, instead of the fear, instead of the past, being worried about the past, instead of the guilt, instead of allowing all these things to bond us down and drag us down and have control of our lives and snuff our joy out of living and stuff our joy out of being around our families and snuff our joy out of coming to church and snuff our joy out of being at work and snuff our joy out of sitting at home with your family and being with your kids. See, instead of that, when we allow Jesus to come in, I got one thing, though, it was another point, but I'm going to share it with you because I'm about to close. But when the light come in, remember the angel came in, when the light entered in, the chains fell off. Glory, hallelujah. When we allow the light of Jesus Christ to lighten our lives up and come in and change us, the chains that has us bound will be lifted and fall off of our hands. Aren't you so glad of that this morning? See, we don't have to be bound by the chains of sin. There's a better way. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful today for your word. I'm so thankful, Lord, for your mercy and grace that you have upon us. I'm so thankful, Lord, this morning that several years ago you took these chains and they fell to the ground off of me. And Father, I thank you that you have so many others. But I want to thank you this morning that you still can deliver. You still can free up and set the bondage liberty. Father, I just ask you now that you administer to each one of us. And Father, that if anything we need today, any chains that's got us bound, any problem that's got us drugged down today, anything that is hindering us from being what you have us in mind for us to be. I pray, God, today that you would draw and bring to our minds, and these chains would fall off. We'd allow you to take them. Lord, I love you today, and I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name. Will you come this morning? Will you come and allow the Lord to move and help you? See, the angel had to smoke Peter on the side to wake him up. He said, "Get out of here. You don't belong in here." And he led him right out of that dark cell out into freedom. If you leave out of this service dragging them chains behind you, see, it's your own fault. I hate to be blunt, but it's your own fault, because there's help. Jesus is the ever-present help in the time of need. Jesus is all we need, and Jesus will be there. See, if you're there today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, you really don't know that if you're saved or not. Oh, I wouldn't leave here without making it right. And if some of these chains that I talked about you struggle with, and the devil tortures you with it, won't you come and get a release from it? There ain't nobody going to think bad about you. Will you come and allow God? Don't walk out with the chains today. Let him have them. Let the light come and them fall off. Will you come as we sing another verse?